Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Big man. And then $30 characters, or $40 characters.
Well,
yeah, $40 characters.
Well, the thing is that, hey everybody, welcome to Game Classy. I know we're starting off a little quick, but we're talking about the
Gassy.
Yeah, game Gassy.
Well, so you know, you just mix it together. You just make it one thing and just
Gassy.
Oh,
that works.
See?
How come it's taken us like 200 and some episodes to do that?
I don't know, man.
Actually, I think it's only 150 episodes, I think we're
at. I don't fucking know, man. I don't pay attention to these
things. We're
close
to
Gassy.
It's taken us 150 episodes to figure that. No, we're talking about Age of Sigmar. They released three new, like, get started.
The Star Collecting Boxes.
Star Collecting Boxes.
Which are always good value. And all of the Star Collecting Boxes are good value.
But holy crap,
the Fire Slayer's box
is unbelievable.
It's $210. It's a $60 character unit.
Yeah.
An $85 giant monster.
Yes.
And two $40 characters. Those characters are $40 each.
Well, no, but the thing is that the Magmadar, which is the big dragon, those two characters come with that Magmadar regardless. So if you buy
There's also two characters on foot.
Yeah, they come with the Magmadon box set regardless.
Okay.
So it's not quite as good, but still, it's an amazing box set for $85.
Right.
It's like 100 and I don't think it's 60. Maybe it is 60. I think it's like 55. But, you know, same thing. It's 85 plus 55, which is $140 you're getting for $85.
Yes.
It's a pretty amazing set. But yeah, the two, because the Magmadar dragon thing, you can make... like the daddy, the boy, or you could make the rune smiter or whatever the hell it's called. I don't know. Every time I keep on looking at the rules for them, because I actually bought the box set because I was like, ooh, I kind of want to. This is a great deal. I've already been painting a bunch of dwarves. I should get some Age of Sigmar stuff because that's the only thing that really can compete in Age of Sigmar is if it's specifically made for Age of Sigmar.
Not true, but carry on. you can take any old army, and there's something that can make it competitive. For a random example, the All Snakeman army from the Snake Riders from Tomb Kings. You can play a list that's legit just Tomb King Snake Riders and nothing else, and it'll be a competitive army. They're that good. And every army's got something along those lines. The problem is armies don't directly convert is what the issue is.
Yeah.
So if you had an Empire State Troop army, if you just tried to take it over to Age of Sigmar, it will not work.
No. It will get smote.
Yes, it will be state trooped into the grizzity ground.
State trooped into the ground.
The grizzity ground.
But in random terms of like, hey, I want to buy a bunch of crap to make an Age of Sigmar army, you should pretty much buy something that was made for Age of Sigmar.
You can also bolster your existing force to like the Stormcast Eternals and Empire make a very effective army because you can use the Stormcast Eternal the double hand
but
dudes.
I hate those models.
I love those models. They're so cool.
The Stormcast Eternals?
Yeah, they're sweet. They look like Gestalt dudes. They look like cooler Space Marines, IMO. I think they look like way cooler Space Marines because they have that like... They remind me of something very specific, but I can't think of what it is.
They remind me of Mordred from Excalibur.
Maybe that's what it is. Did he have that mask?
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be it. And a little bit of Balthazar Gelt.
Yeah, a little bit of
because he had that mask too with like the
with the sun rays.
Yeah, with the sun rays.
Balthazar Gelt, the gold lizard.
Yeah, that
gold
guy,
lizard,
that
supreme
guy was
patriarch.
That guy was cool.
Let's give him his full title.
And
supreme patriarch.
And he had like potions. That was his thing. He was a potion master.
Yeah,
yeah, it was very cool.
I loved. God, that takes me back reading about the story about how he became like
the potion master,
the supreme patriarch.
Oh, yeah,
I think it was in White Dwarf or something like that. But anyways, yeah. So I picked up the Fire Slayer box because I was playing around with it. One thing that I've come across with the newer models, I know it makes it sound like I'm just sucking GW's dick this episode.
Their new models are great.
I was super impressed. Like, the last model, I think, chronologically, that they released that I put together, one of the newer gyrocopters, the gyro bomber. Mm-hmm. That model was ass to put together.
Yeah.
Just, like, it was like, why is this, like, a separate piece? This shouldn't be a separate piece. Some of the CAD work on it was pretty piss poor. I put together the Magmadar and a couple of the figures, and I was just super impressed the way everything went together.
Yeah.
I was just
their
like,
newer stuff's great.
Granted, the conversion, like converting with it, not so great.
Converting with it will be super hard because they're not generic anymore.
Yeah, I know
they don't have the like static pose and then move the arms where you want.
That's kind of sucks.
I guess. I don't know. I was never super big into converting. If I did, I was always like character models. So.
No, I always liked posing, not necessarily converting.
Right, I understand.
Like make the head. If
posability isn't there. Like these Blight Kings, like this is the poses you get. Like there's a lot of variety. There's lots of different choices between heads and arms and like that kind of stuff. There's you are spoiled for choice when it comes to variety. However, this particular chassis, if you will, this chassis of
the chassis.
Yes, the chassis of this Blight Guard or Blight King will always be in this pose. Like he always has like, you know, like that stance and his arm is going to be up. Like that's it. You can't do any other choice. You can give him different arms and a different head, but he's always going to be in that same general pose. And like the staff, the dude who does the banner bearer, his chassis is always kind of in like an arced pose where his arm is up. So even if you don't make the banner bearer, he's pointing up with a sword or an axe instead of the banner. So they always still they have the same kind of, you know, frame, I guess I would say. Great models. They go together really well. They look really cool. But if I want to do poses, I would need to do cutting and green stuff work to do poses, which I mean, I ain't doing that. Not for a pose on an infantry model.
No.
Maybe for a character, but not for infantry.
I mean, I've been looking through.
The Plague Bearers are pretty good for posability, but the Plague Bearers also have
the Plague Bearers are older
options.
Though.
They just have a lot of options. Now I think about it. Their arms just slide in. You can make different poses because they have so many arms.
But you got to remember those are pre-Age of Sigmar.
Yes, this is true. Yeah, since so are the Blight Kings actually.
There. Yeah, I guess with the other thing with Games Workshop, there's a couple Games Workshop things I just want to knock off the right off the bat is Tom Kirby, CEO, acting CEO of Games Workshop, finally retired. He was kind of being forced out about a couple years ago. Was it Kevin?
He never really had anything to do with the company for a while. Like he was just there.
Well, for some people who might not know. Tom Kirby, he was the guy that originally, like, when Games Workshop was just a bunch of, you know, RPG gamers who were working out of a shop in London, he was the guy who bought up all the IP and was like, we could do something with this.
Yep.
He created the Games Workshop that everybody loves on all the 40K and fantasy stuff. He, you know, he had a ton of stock and everything. And I think
has a ton of stock.
Yeah. And even on this cast, I think we were talking about how we thought he was grooming the company to get bought out.
Yeah.
By,
Well, I think he was, but I think now that the company's like had this shift.
Well, in 2008, when the recession hit, that's when he took over as CEO again to try and make sure that it, because I think he was trying to get out earlier than that.
Yeah.
He came back and was like, well, let's right the ship. He groomed, I think her name is Sandra something or other, the former CEO.
When he went back, when he stepped in to become CEO, that's when the company started going downhill.
Yeah.
Like when he stepped in to become acting CEO,
because
he started driving the company into a fucking iceberg.
He was grooming her to be CEO, and as we all know, that failed miserably.
Oh, no, I think she did exactly what he told her to do.
Oh, you think that's what
because all of the moves from that point were to set up to build value for the IP and make a move to sell. I guarantee, like, that's what it was. But at some point, whatever happened, I don't know.
Well, around 2012, this new guy, Kevin, not Roundtree, I can't think of his
name. Kevin Applewood.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. He took over as kind of like, what's going on? And that's when we started seeing all of a sudden, like, we're like, wait a second, why is Games Workshop starting to become cool again? What's going on here? What is this Age of Sigmar stuff? This looks like a cool idea. Okay.
They fucked it up. And then they actually listened to everyone saying they fucked it up and they fixed it.
Yeah.
Which is so uncharacteristic of Games Workshop.
Well, look at what's going on. So they fixed fantasy. They fixed 40K now.
Yep.
Hypothetically.
The new 40K edition is great.
Yeah, I'm. It's still too new for me to make any sort of
flyers.
Calls.
Flyers were busted. They immediately fixed them with one FAQ.
Well, if they put on an FAQ already, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's always a. I don't know how they're doing it or how they're making the decisions on it, but there's always a very thin line you walk when you listen to people who play your game.
I went into a Games Workshop store the other day to pick up some stuff and visit a friend, and one of the neckbeards who's, you know, one of those guys who's there from open to close, just show up.
Guy who lives there, sure.
Yeah. I had my dwarves that I was working on showing the guy who works there, and, you know, we were looking at it, and this guy comes up and goes, oh, square bases, I see. And I was like, oh, my God. You don't deserve to be alive.
That's awesome. That's awesome. There's a very thin line you need to walk when you listen to your fans. Because in most cases, if you just kowtow to what your fans want, whatever you have is going to suck.
What's this about cows?
It's just gonna suck.
Yeah,
it's gonna be ass.
That's what you get with Malifaux.
Yeah,
that's what happened with Malifaux.
Yeah, you listen to it all.
And
you...
in some ways, what happened with Wormhordes, but even then, Wormhordes I think is
So the problem with Wormhordes is everyone's like, this edition sucks. You need to fix it. And then they rushed out a third edition that they claimed they were working on for many years. But as it launched and was met by the public, it's clear that it was barely a beta. Barely a beta, because they've already as far as I know, it might not be two, but I know for 100% fact they've already completely redone one of the factions. And I mean, like, top to bottom, it's been redone. So the launch version is now useless.
Well, not to mention the fact that they also have been gradually dealing with army size creep based upon fan. Like, no, we want bigger armies. Yeah. We want bigger armies.
Terrible. Terrible.
That's what you get. And now you have these massive fucking tournament
armies. And they did nothing to curb the discounters online.
Oh yeah, that was another problem.
It's still a problem. Like they unveiled their free rider program, which is like you get product late, or they cut off in some capacity. They cut off the ability for people to get the product on time if you are an online seller, but you can still get the product. So what the fuck do you care if you get it late? You're selling it online at a huge discount. It doesn't fix the problem.
No.
So there's that, which is a real problem. And they implemented that years too late.
Yeah.
Damage has already been done. There's no value with War Machine and Hordes models. Not even necessarily, like, there's a value to the figures. You can sell them for, 30% off. That's what you can sell them for. But there's no in-store value. Like, there's no store loyalty, because everyone who's been buying them is just buying them online because they're available everywhere for cheap.
Yeah.
They also don't have stores building the brand in a uniform manner. Like, you could say what you will about Workshop, but if you go into a Workshop store, that fucking douchebag clerk is gonna like treat you the same no matter which store you're going into.
He's gonna treat you like you're a god.
Yeah.
And that's why you have people who go in there and live there from open to close.
Right. And they'll treat you the same every time you go into the store, and even if you go into different stores, they're always like, oh hey, how can I help?
What army are you playing?
Yeah, what you working on? Cool.
Ah, that's pretty sweet.
Sweet. What colors? Nice. I really like the Fang. It's one of my favorite primers. So there you go. But it's consistent, and they build their brand.
I like going to the stores and just saying, I know more about this than you.
I like going and acting like I have no idea wow, like, what's this game? I got a guy to when it was still the bunker, I got one of the goons who I'd never seen before to run me through a demo of Warhammer when Tim was there. And I'm just like, wow, this game's cool.
And I'm sure Tim loved it.
His fancy was tickled, no doubt.
Yes.
But yeah, and I was like, what's that guy do? And I just asked I channeled all of the worst kid questions that I was ever asked working at Workshop, and I hit the guy with all of them, just like every one of them, just to get a straight mix up. And I'm like, oh, I've heard of these guys. They're Korn. Do they have the Kornate chain axes?
Do they have the Kornate chain axes?
God damn it. Yes, they have the Kornate chain axes. Why would you ask me that? Doesn't even make any sense. They clearly have chain axes. Stop asking me.
This clearly makes no sense.
Yeah. Oh, it's good stuff.
So back to somewhat news. They did the the General's Compendium 2 is coming out.
Yes, 2017. You know, we've run the whole gamut of Workshop at this point on the cast, because our very first episode we were talking positively about Workshop because it was.
And there was the vampire counts
were coming out. They looked fucking awesome. I was talking about fantasy. Hear, like, we were high on the Workshop train. We've gone the full range.
Well, I mean,
bitter, fiery hatred to the redemption story.
They have made a comeback. It is a pretty remarkable thing for like any other game company. If they had done what Games Workshop had done, they'd be dead in the water.
Actually, the closest example and the only example I can think of a company that still exists is Wizards of the Coast, because Wizards of the Coast has punted Magic super badly before, like really, really badly, like oh shit, is Magic gonna still exist? And they were able to bounce back.
But the thing is that Magic is a is always like the dominant.
Well, that's the thing. At this time, there were so many CCGs in the market.
That's true.
There was a good chance that one of the other CCGs could have taken it.
Well, I mean, aside from like maybe Pokemon could have.
Like Versus was huge.
Versus.
You chuckle, but that game was fucking gigantic. Like
I chuckle at Versus.
Game was huge. The thing that sucked about that game is it was really skill based. So the better player would win like 98% of the time. So like, if you weren't good, you never got free wins. Like with Magic, you'll occasionally get it. Like you could get the free win, whether or not you know you got the free win, but you can get the free win against the guy who's the best in the shop, and you'd be like, I beat the best player in the store. Fuck yeah. I'm so excited. In Versus, pretty much impossible. That would never happen. So that actually ruined the attendance of that game because you couldn't win if you went. It's like going to a fighting game tournament. Like if you don't know what you're doing, you're just gonna get fucking shit wrecked, and you're probably not gonna learn anything while you're getting shit wrecked. So that when that is the issue of your game, you're gonna have either declining attendance or stagnant attendance, and that's what happened to Versus. Their game stopped grow. Their game grew extremely rapidly and then stopped and started declining because people couldn't play it. Like,
well, there you go. That's if you ever design a card game, the number
you have
one
to have luck.
You have to have random blind luck.
You need to find the exact right percentage. Magic's probably there
between skill and luck.
Yes, Magic's probably there where like
but you know what, that's like almost any game, is that it should be a good combination of skill and luck.
Well, you need to do that because that's what balances that's what balances the game between people who play it all the time and people who can only play it a few times, because you need to make sure that everyone has a fun time playing your game, especially if it's supposed to be a game like Magic, which is like everyone shows up.
I know we've talked about this on the cast before, and I know you are anti this, but I still think that anytime I play a game with a person for the first time, I have to let them win. That's old school Games Workshop for me, like doing like,
well, I mean, depends on the situation.
It also probably for you depends on who you're playing against.
Exactly. Like there's situations where,
because
like,
if it's like Kevin Bates, you're probably like playing the game for the first time, you're like, I'm not gonna let him win.
I will go for as hard as possible. If it's someone I know, I'll play as hard as possible.
Yeah.
But like with a lot of cases, like, you know, if it's some rando that I've never met before and like he's a nice guy, like, and I don't know him, I'll just be like, sure, whatever, we'll play, I don't care. Like, I don't need to win random games, but like at a tournament, I'm never gonna pull if it's this dude's tournament, he's going down. Like, he's gonna get destroyed. But that's what I mean. Like, if it's a rando game, I don't care about winning rando games. I barely even care about winning tournament games anymore. Like,
I don't care about winning tournament games.
I'm playing a completely themed army that has no specific combos outside of the very specific army I'm playing.
Combo.
Right. Well, I mean, Sigmar is all about having, you know, combos and setups, and I have like all Nurgle models, and that's it. Flat. Like, that's the extent I'm going to do. I'm not gonna get like some Tzeentch models because they can like use some bullshit with the Blight Kings and make them super good. I'm using all Nurgle stuff. The farthest I'll go to the level of combo is I'll probably end up getting some Plague Monks because they're also Nurgle. So they're still in my theme of everything's got the Nurgle keyword, but they're actually really insane with the
What was the name of the Nurgle model? Not Nurgle model, of the Skaven guy on the Plague Rat. Was it Nurglitch?
Nurglitch. Yeah.
That was a cool model.
It was a cool model.
I think I got him.
He has no rules. I was kind of surprised. He's got no rules. He's got no War Scroll. But I remembered he was only done for the Lustria campaign.
Yes.
So that's why he had no rules.
A terrible campaign.
Awful campaign. So
hey, I got an idea. We got all these armies that exist on the old world, and
let's pick two not really popular ones.
Let's pick two not popular armies and have a campaign that exists in a part of the Warhammer world that we don't really care about.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Let's, what is it? Is Lizardmen versus Dark Elves? Nah, we're not even gonna have the Dark Elves in it.
Yeah, well, I did successfully run a Lustria campaign at the bunker because I just completely took their book and threw that all away and was just like, "We're in the jungle, baby! You're gonna die!" I just gave like weird jungle rules and that was it. So, and it was fun. The other thing too is the game that was supposed to be heavy like terrain, so it had that like breaking up regiment. The rules were pretty good actually for that. Like, you could make any regiment break in a skirmish and then move around. That was fun.
It was way too complicated.
Well,
for
see the key is you just take one guy off the thing and you're just like, they're moving in skirmish. You don't actually break them up in a skirmish. So the Glotkin, he's got a thing where he makes every Nurgle model within 14 inches get +1 attack on all of their melee weapons, and the Plague Monks very specifically have a staff and a dagger, so he gives them +2 chops because he gives +1 to each of their weapons. So he's a very powerful combination with those guys. So that's the extent of, like, you know, the power level I'm going for.
Yeah.
Still all Nurgle stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's all you can ask for. But yeah, General's Compendium 2 is coming out. They're going to be adding all point costs for all the new models that have just come out.
Yep.
Readjusting
point costs for current existing
armies.
They're also changing some lists, too. The Chaos Dwarves, are getting hobgoblins.
Oh, the chaos dwarves.
They're getting hobgoblins.
Yeah, hobgoblins. They get some sneaky gits.
They're getting some sneaky gits.
I'm not gonna get the
Labyrinth. They're not called hobgoblins. They're called something else.
Well, of course they're not.
But they're clearly hobgoblins.
They're hobgoblins.
I can't remember what they're called. But yeah, they're not called hobgoblins. They're getting that wolf riders and the hell cannons going into their list because the hell cannon is not in the current chaos dwarf army list.
Yeah.
But that's getting added into their list. So
a little bit of flanking.
Nice changes.
We're gonna get some hobgoblin wolf riders.
You can't flank in Age of Sigmar.
We get some rear lapping.
There's no flanking.
I'm gonna get a +2 to my combat bonus.
There's no flanking. you could actually give them a lap round effect where you just move them to the other side. That would be cool.
I have 20 sneaky gits at home.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty sweet. Now
I refuse to sell.
If you have them charge, and then that would actually be a really characterful way to do it. You have them charge, and then any models that end up not in combat, you put them over on the other side of the unit so they like sneak around, because that would still have the same feel to like them all immediately sneaking around a unit to strike, and it would be very powerful in game. I think that would be pretty cool. Hopefully they have that.
Probably not.
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are because they're a new unit. Yeah. They're a completely new unit.
And they're
so
not even called sneaky gits.
Yeah. So
they're not called hobgoblins, so I don't want anything to do with it.
Knows. No one knows.
No, they don't.
They may say they know, but they don't.
Bring out my static pose chaos dwarves.
Yes.
With big beards.
Just the halberd. He's like standing with the halberd
up. And the shield. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I'll bring those guys out. Just see everyone go, no. No.
Do it.
I got my little bull centaurs are going to be, you know, out there that are tiny in comparison to
your baby bull centaurs in comparison to
these
big boys.
Yeah. I mean, they're nice looking, but they don't have the big hats.
They don't. They have horns. They don't have the big hats.
Stupid. They should have hats.
They got rid of the hats, man. The only hats are on the characters now. Only the characters wear hats.
I don't.
They still have that, though. They have the big stupid hats on the characters.
I disagree with that choice.
Well, you know, there's no dickhead hat anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It's true.
Rocket battery.
Have you heard about Shadespire? Another thing I am aware of it. Yeah.
It sounds awesome.
Has it been released yet?
No. So
okay.
They did a preview video, a teaser preview for Shadespire like a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was in March.
But
it said it was releasing at the end of this year.
Oh, okay.
With organized play, which is huge.
From what I hear, it's supposedly supposed to be like a tournament.
Yes.
Like a specifically designed tournament game. Yeah.
I'm very interested. The undead miniatures are fucking awesome.
Yeah. They're Reaper. They're confrontation figures.
Badass looking. They look like confrontation skeletons.
They're Rackamana Halfs, I think I called them.
Fucking awesome. Yeah.
We haven't talked about that on the podcast, and it just completely glossed over.
They look fucking great.
Yeah. It's interesting. They got a female
Stormcast.
Stormcast, yep. Too. I was in my dwarf army. If you guys had seen it, I put it on gameclassy.blogspot.com.
Blagspot.com.
I put a couple Reaper female figures in there because I got tired of painting boy dwarves, so I want to put some girl dwarves in there. I think, you know.
Didn't GW make one female dwarf model? Helga or something?
Queen Helgar for the Grudge of Drong campaign.
That's right.
Based off of actually a couple older Perry female dwarves. There were a couple ones in Old Hammer, you know, pre-Slotta.
They don't have beards, though.
They don't have beards.
Which is garbage. Female dwarves should have beards.
Yeah, well, depends.
Thin, wispy beards. They don't have thick, rugged beards. They have thin, wispy beards that they braid.
Yeah. I mean, kind of like most neck beards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you calling female dwarves neckbeards?
It could be.
Those are fighting words, sir.
Methane.
Methane. Methaney. Speaking of neckbeards, we got to talk about Ready Player One.
We
have to make sure we touch on that.
You're way more angry at it than I am.
Oh my god! I'm gonna go run and grab something so I can be ready for it.
Is he gonna get an air horn?
No, you know what? I'll just wait. I'll just go get it when it's relevant.
Okay, you could go ahead and do that.
When we're talking about Ready Player One, I'll get it. I gotta.
This is. I just maybe.
Oh yeah, you think you know the katana? I know the katana. Trump-tana. Yeah, that was going around before he was the president of the United States of America, Joe. The president of the United States, Donald Trump.
I still get shivers down my broken spine when I hear that.
Every time I see him on television, I'm just like, that man is the perfect president for this country.
You are correct in that statement. But so let's say this Shadespire, blah blah blah. That's pretty much it on the GW front that I wanted to hit with news-wise. I don't think there's anything else GW-wise. The big thing was that they are going to be doing a General's Compendium, like, yes, every year, apparently.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing. They're just going to
update.
Neat
idea. I like
that. I think
that.
It's super smart. It's a perfect way for them to update their game without changing the fucking edition. Because you don't need, I'm going to be straight up here. You don't need to change Age of Sigmar. It's actually as close to perfect as you're going to get for what that game is.
Yes.
Like, there's no way you're going to drastically or dramatically improve Age of Sigmar by changing large rules. Because you're at the point where the game is simple enough to where all you need to do is tweak points values, add new models, give new abilities. Because they've already increased the complexity by adding the Allegiance abilities, which was something brand new they introduced with the Sylvaneth book.
Yeah.
Doesn't change the rules of the game at all. It just... This is a new thing you can get by limiting your force to just these types of models. So they're adding all of those for every army's going to have those now.
And they're going to have, alliances and stuff like that. Yeah. So you're going to be able to take...
It's a very small amount of points, which I really liked. Yeah. I think 2,000 points, you can take 400.
Yeah, which is a decent amount.
Ally.
Yeah.
That's a very...
You could take a Treeman in an elf army.
But it also... 400 is a very, very specific price point because it lets you take some of the big stuff, but not all of the big stuff. So, like, you can't take an orc boss on Wyvern because that's 700 points. But you can take, like...
Take a Magmadroth.
You can take a Magmadroth because he's like 380 or something.
320.
320, yeah. So, which is nice. Like, you could take one big thing or like maybe a solid unit.
But
like,
it's okay because the Fire Slayers don't fight with anyone because we worship the Urgold.
Yes, right. They need to be paid in the Urgold. Like, fight for me. I have Urgold. Did you say Urgold?
When you said that last week, I get that in my head now. Every time I see them, I'm like... Ergo.
Yeah, they'll fight for anyone with the Ergo.
So stupid.
I love it. I love the lore. I love the heavy metal shit. I've been listening to the audiobooks. They're fun.
Is it?
Yeah, they're fun. They're not like, they're not fucking testaments of great writing, but they're fun.
I've been, I was having some problems coming up with some new audiobooks to listen to, and I decided to say, I just like, fuck it, I'm going to listen to Lord of the Rings. I haven't actually listened to a Lord of the Rings audiobook ever, so.
You should listen to The Children of Húrin, read by Christopher Lee.
I know, well, that's
it's
on my list.
It's fucking great. It's so good.
Why Christopher Lee never did an audiobook version of The Silmarillion, I do not know.
He's done a lot of audiobooks.
I mean, but The Silmarillion, like, he should do the fucking Silmarillion.
Yeah, it would have been sweet. The Children of Húrin's amazing, though. Like, yeah. He's really good.
Well, I mean, that essentially is... like a big chunk of the Silmarillion.
It's
so.
Really good. It's really good. I just listened to it.
I wasn't impressed with the book itself, but maybe the audiobook telling is better.
That is what I listened to. I didn't read the book.
Yeah.
I only listened to the guy. That's the thing. I've been getting super into books lately, but not reading them.
Oh no.
Cause I want to do something else. Like, I usually, we listened to The Hobbit. We listened to the entirety of The Hobbit. All walking.
Oh.
Just every day we'd walk about 20 minutes, maybe 40 minutes. So we just walk after work, listen to The Hobbit, and then come back in and sit down.
Oh, and that's just so sweet.
It's nice. Yeah. So and then now we have to figure. I think we're gonna do Dracula, read by Christopher Lee, is gonna be the next one.
What? That book is not that good.
But it's read by Christopher Lee. He improves it all, I assure you. Blah.
My Children of the Night.
Blah.
You'll appreciate this. Speaking of undead, I was, for the second time in like 2 months, I've come across an entire fantasy army for $100. Guess what I got?
What did you get?
I got a shit ton of Tomb Kings.
For $100?
For $100.
What sucker was selling their Tomb Kings for $100?
It's the full army box, like the 6th edition army box with all the chariots and everything in there. Two boxes of Tomb Guard. A
metal tomb guard or
metal tomb guard.
Holy shit. Okay.
Bone giant.
Okay.
The skull thing and a
screaming skull catapult.
Yeah. And then the casket of souls for $100.
All metal?
Yeah.
What idiot sold it for that? Like, that's worth a fortune on eBay. A fortune.
I don't know. That's the thing I've told you about. Like, cause the cast doesn't know about this. I was texting you about this. I occasionally go on the Facebook and check on Warhammer just to see if anybody around me is selling something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I found a mom who was selling a shit ton of her kid's stuff for $75. And I was like, you've got... I saw the picture of it, and I was like, you got to be fucking with me. Like, there's no way all of this for $85. Or $75. So I was like... I went there, and I met with the woman, and I was like... Please tell me this isn't your dead kid stuff, because I feel really bad for giving you $75 for all this.
I'd be like, if he's dead, I'll give you $65.
But no, he was going off to the army, so I was like, oh, well, oh, fuck that. Here's $75. I took it all. Just a stack of hardcover 40K books, like, you know, the brand new 8th, well, not brand new, but the 8th edition mm-hmm. stuff, a bunch of 9th edition Warhammer stuff, tons of sprues, a full Land Raider, full Rhino, full Riptide, that stupid fucking jet thing for the Space Marines, the little space
Land
ship.
Speeder?
No, it was it's the Storm Talon.
Oh, the Storm Gun thing.
Yeah, the Storm Talon.
The Storm Blaster.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, just a ton of stuff, and I was like, for $75, I was like, I told my wife, I came in with like 4 boxes worth of stuff, and my wife was looking at me like, you are not fucking bringing that in our house. Joe, you get that out of our house. I'm like, I'm selling it. I'm not keeping any of this. I'm selling it. And I've already sold it. I've made like $200 off of it already. So,
man, I still don't know why people like don't bother Googling what they have before they sell
Googling.
It.
Well, I mean,
just Google it.
And this, to this person's credit,
they were very old and didn't understand what Google was.
No, but if you didn't know what you were looking at there, like, it took me a while to like kind of get everything into lots to sell.
Oh, was it all out of the box?
It was
stuff?
All out of the box. Oh, okay, it was okay. All like most of it was
well,
assembled.
You can't like what are you going to Google if you find this? Be like weird knight guy with
well,
shield.
Exactly.
Okay, I thought it was boxes.
There
sealed.
Was 60 Terminators in there. Not 60. There was
30. Was the Tomb King stuff in box? Or?
No. Oh, yes, it was.
Okay.
There was 30 Terminators assembled in there that I had to find and put the pieces together once I found pieces.
Yeah, remove all of my statements only apply if something is still new in its box.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously a normie is not going to be able to Google what a term. They're just going to be like, it's a weird little guy in space armor.
Yeah. But yeah, I was like, with the books, I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to sell this. So I took it to Half Price Books, and they were like, here's $100 for all the books. And I was like, okay. Yeah. That was more than I already paid for all
these
guys.
Yeah, I sold a bunch of 40K and Forge World books to Half Price Books at one point. And they gave me like $200 for it. And I was like, it's worth way more on eBay, that's like, but also shipping.
Yeah, well, it's not.
I figured out that I actually think I did the math when they gave me the offer. And I believe if like I counted the average cost of shipping plus eBay fees, I think I was total down like $50.
Yeah, I mean,
because all of the other money that I could have made, the theoretical dollars, all would have been eaten up by eBay fees and shipping.
Well,
also, I don't like banking on theoretical dollars.
Yes. So I'm going to get to the thing that makes me angry before we'll get to your Ready Player One anger.
Dude, I'm so mad.
It's something that made me angry.
Is it the Emoji Movie?
Well, no, the Emoji Movie is so just beyond my scope.
The Emoji Movie.
My
kid doesn't want to see the Emoji Movie?
Oh, my kid wants to see it so bad. So bad.
God damn it.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, but I'm not going to take her to it.
The Emoji Movie.
Dude, Steve, I saw the Angry Birds movie, and that was the worst piece of shit I've ever seen in my life.
Well, the Emoji Movie is 0% in Rotten Tomatoes.
No. It's 3%.
Oh, 3%.
Yes.
I believe Angry Birds had like a 20 or like 30.
There was one critic, and I think it's like the family values thing. And all they really do is they just tell you whether or not a movie's safe for kids. And so they gave it like 3 stars based upon like, yeah, this movie's fine for kids. And so that's why it got a 3%.
Up to the 3% score.
3%, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No.
So it is a legendary 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. It is currently one of the worst reviewed movies of all time. And it looks like it, too. Like an awful, awful movie.
It looks
movie.
Terrible.
No, I was talking about the Song of Ice and Fire board game that is released
miniatures
on Kickstarter. Miniatures game that is released on Kickstarter. Probably one of the worst value Kickstarters I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it's cool mini or not. They don't fucking care.
No. Let me go through this, though. I want to just point by point why this is such a terrible fucking.
Are you
going to
bring up the Kickstarter so you can hit it on there, or do you have it all prepared?
I got it all prepared. Here Number one, they specifically say in the Kickstarter, we don't have a rule set yet, but yet they tell you how the units move and everything like, oh, this is how it's going to move and everything like this, but we don't have a rule book yet. That means
they have an idea.
They have an idea. They have an idea of how this is going to work together and everything like that. Oh, that's great. You got an idea. Like, oh, it's 100 miniatures. And it's okay. It's 100 miniatures. That's good. But it's unit based. So out of the 100. So let's say.
How many units is it?
It's 4 units per side. 4 units of 12 men per side. Fucking bullshit. All right, because it's unit based. Now, if there was 100 miniatures and it was like a skirmish game, you'd be like, "Oh fuck, this is a great fucking deal." It's not. It's not a great deal. You're only getting 4 units per side.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, okay, but if this is a cool mini or not Kickstarter, and what's cool mini or not known for with their Kickstarters?
Ridiculous stretch goals.
Ridiculous stretch goals. First of all, this is not actually Cool Mini or Not who's doing this. I believe this is a third company, like a third party, who's doing this along with Dark Sword Miniatures.
That's why the minis don't look bad.
Well, yeah, Dark Sword did all the minis.
Very
good. Yeah, that's why the minis look great. However, they're going to be that kind of that Cool Mini or Not kind of hard plastic.
The weird plastic?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it because it's weird. Because it's not like...
It's not as bad as Bones.
No.
But it's not as...
I hear Bones are a lot better once you paint them.
I've done it. It's not...
No?
No.
Okay.
The new Dungeons & Dragons pre-paints, those paint up real nice.
Those are sick.
Yeah. The Bones, not as much. No, I was not a big fan of how Bones painted up.
Very good. They're also much more expensive than Bones, though.
Yes. Oh, not actually, really, because the you get 2 figures for $3.
It's $3.99, $4.
Oh, $4.
But
okay.
Bones at Kickstarter price is like way cheap.
Yeah, yeah. But if you buy them in
store,
it's probably
comparable at retail.
Yeah.
Kickstarter price unparalleled. Like you can't even get close.
Well, Bones. I was going to talk about that a little bit, but Bones 4 or 3? It's 4. Bones. The newest Bones Kickstarter.
I can't believe people keep buying all these fucking minis.
But the new Bones Kickstarter is August 1st. So on Monday, they're going to drop a new one.
Like, I can't believe that there's still that much market for these RPG minis like that. Because it's like.
Well, no, Bones is just converting their own metal catalog. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, it's true. I guess it makes sense.
So they're just.
But people are buying into their Kickstarter.
Well, yeah, because they're getting
cheap minis.
Yeah, they're getting cheap minis. I mean,
yeah,
it's not that Reaper figures were that expensive to begin with.
True.
Yeah. I mean, the. Anyway. But the. Oh, by the way, on that. With that lot I bought from that mom, there was 200 Clicks figures for Mage Knight. 200.
For Mage Knight?
For Mage Knight.
Oh, man. Not even Hero Clicks.
Not even Hero Clicks.
That's awesome.
Mage Knight.
Those are worth nothing.
Yeah. Well, actually, there's a market for them because they're pre-painted fantasy figures, so a lot of people use them for D&D.
Well, I meant like there's still some old Hero Clicks that have like real like collectors looking for, like the Silver Nightcrawler. Like if you have that guy, he's still worth like $60.
Yeah, no, these aren't like
what I mean by worth.
There's no collector's value in Mage Knight. No, Mage Knight, you buy it because you're like, oh shit, I can get like 60 plastic orcs for my campaign
that
I can use.
That game was pretty big for a while.
It was huge.
Yeah, until Topps fucking ruined it, I guess. So
I thought WizKids.
Topps bought them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could buy your pack.
That's why Sports Clicks happened.
Oh, so you could buy your pack of Mage Knight figures and get the uniform little swatch in there.
That's why Topps Sports Clicks happened, and there was the baseball clicks, which were awful, and no one played them. Like it was basically a product that neither possible demographic was interested in. It was like sports fans were interested in it because they're fucking minis. They're like, that's dumb. And gaming fans were interested in because they're fucking baseball players, and they're like, that's dumb. So they made a product that anyone possibly interested was vehemently opposed to.
I mean, like, I understand the concept of wanting, and of like a, like, let's say they did a football clicks, right? And because that actually might translate fairly well. I mean, we see that with Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl, if you did American style football with the Blood Bowl figures, it might work a little bit better, but. Who's going to want to play sports ball?
it doesn't work when it's actual football players. If they'd have done like Mutant League baseball or something.
Oh, now you're speaking my language.
There would have been people interested because then you'd have nerds wanting to play it, and you might have like an on the brink jock nerd, a jerd, if you will. You could have a jerd in there because there were a lot of jerds who played Magic.
I mean, all the lines are blurred now anyway.
Well,
so it
I mean, now
matter.
I'm talking about back then when they were making sports clicks.
Back then when they were making us.
Back then you still say you played D&D and they say, hey, you stupid idiot, and they punch you in the stomach and take your sodas.
They take your sodas. But have you ever watched a documentary now on Netflix?
No.
It's got Bill Hader.
I know. I've seen the commercials. It looks funny.
Yeah. So they did, I'm going to tell you right now, go season one, go to the last two episodes.
Okay.
It's about this, they're making fun of documentaries.
Yeah.
It's a music documentary about this band that Hader and Will Arnett. Why can't I think of his name right now? But the two guys, they formed this band in the 70s, and they're from Chicago. And so they do the fake Chicago accent
for
the entire thing. It's hysterical because they're all like it's like, my mom and dad worked at this sausage factory. And the other guy's like, yeah, my mom and dad worked at this sausage factory. And then they end up...
a lot of sausage.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines throughout the entire thing is, we come from a line... what does he say? A strong and noble meat tradition. A long and noble meat tradition.
That's awesome.
Yes. I would... You will...
Don't get in between Midwesterners and their meat.
Well... Watch it. You'll appreciate
it. Good.
It has one of the most Chicago things I've ever seen.
And the
seen
Midwest is the only place that has decent pizza. Everywhere else sucks. Yeah. New York pizza's garbage. California pizza's worse garbage.
Don't go to Europe.
Do they have pizza in Europe?
Yeah.
Does that count?
Yeah.
Does that count? It's probably all like fancy with foie gras and fucking caviar
it's all,
and shit.
In England, it's boiled pizza. It's all boiled.
They just boil the pizza?
Yeah.
I don't know. England seems to have a lot of really good Middle Eastern food.
Well, yeah. That's about the only good food that you'll find in England. Yes. Yeah, take that, England.
You don't want some figgy pudding?
Yeah.
I'm interested in figgy pudding.
Would you like some spotted dick?
No. Aren't those sausages or like,
no,
it's like a bread or something?
It's like a bread pudding.
Bread pudding. I definitely want some spotted dick because I fucking love bread pudding.
It does not look good.
But yeah, I can't eat that. Too many carbohydrates.
Yes. But one of my favorite things in the documentary now, and it's one of the most impressive things I've ever seen, is that they've captured one of the intricacies of Chicago arguing. Like, when two people from Chicago will argue about a location of where something is. So, like, if I said...
It's on Kedzie, you idiot.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like, no, it's on Damon and...
It's Narragansett.
Yeah, it's on... No, it's on Damon and Western.
It's
no,
not Damon and Western. It's Narragansett.
Yeah. It's like that way that argues. So the guy goes, I'm not going through this again. It's like, so... It's like... Mwah, mwah. Like Pancho, like Pancha, you know.
Yeah. Just right.
Yes. So back to the Song of Ice and Fire. So stretch goal wise, we were talking about like Coolman or Not's known for great stretch goals. There are no fucking stretch goals for this game. They're like, we're giving you an alternate sculpt of this figure. Well, why would I want an alternate sculpt of this figure when I can only use one of them in this army? This doesn't make any sense for me to have an alternate sculpt if I can only... We got an alternate sculpt of this figure!
That's awesome.
Well, why would I want that? Like, this whole thing is about units, so why don't you offer some units as stretch goals so that way I can have maybe 5 or 6 units in this army instead of just the 4. Here's another alternate sculpt!
Also,
here's a buy-in stretch goal.
I'm going to just go ahead and throw it out there. I really think Game of Thrones is sweet and everything. But a Game of Thrones war game sounds like the most boring, awful thing ever. Because, like, if you want that, just play historical.
Well, and there's the other thing on top of
like,
it,
too. Just play historical. There's not enough sorcery in Game of Thrones to make that viable. And if they do make the White Walkers as an army, then everyone's just going to play White Walkers. And it's gonna be White Walkers. It's like, what'd you bring? White Walkers? What'd you bring? I also brought White Walkers. Oh, okay, cool. They look at all the tables and there's nothing.
What did you bring? I brought the wall.
There's nothing but white sprayed figures and the one dude who's playing all the what's her phrases? The
Lannisters?
The Watch.
Oh,
no,
the watch.
One guy playing the Watch. He's like, I really like the Watch. Jon Snow's my general.
Well, because of course he's playing the Watch because all he has to do is prime them black.
And fight White Walkers.
Yeah.
We're all just primed white.
Stupid.
Yeah. It's so dumb. Like, just play Warhammer Ancients or whatever.
Well, I mean,
Hail Caesar.
Not getting quite
Hail Kaiser.
Not quite into that part yet. But then all the other stretch goals are like, oh, you could buy this unit for an extra $20. This is unlocked. It's like, no, that's not what Kickstarters are about. If I want to buy the box set, I'll wait till it comes out and then I'll buy the box set.
Well, my roommate said he'll just wait until it's out and it's about you know, $80 on eBay. He'll just grab it then.
Yeah, and then on top of that. You have the worst trope ever when it comes to fantasy wargaming, where it's like, oh, these are the Umbers. The Umbers are all armed with axes. This is what this unit's all about. This unit's all about axes, and this unit's all about swords. And it's like, oh, Jesus, this is just, it's the two armies are the exact same thing. Like, what are we doing here? What's going on? This is so boring on every level. I can't handle it.
Yeah, it's a historical war game. Like, you don't want to play historical. You might think you want to play a historical war game, but you probably don't.
But the thing with historical war games is like you kind of go into it knowing like all of my guys are going to. I'm playing Celts. All of my guys are going to be naked with a sword.
You've been fooled into playing a historical war game when you play Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
there's gonna be dragons,
and
direwolves and shit, and it's like. These are dudes with swords versus these are dudes with axes.
Exactly.
Where's the monsters? There's no monsters.
Oh, but the cards.
The humans are the real monsters.
That's what you get.
That's my joke with the movie Jaws. It's like, it turns out humans were the monster after all. No, wait a minute. That was the shark. Yeah, the shark was the obvious monster.
Definitely the shark. It totally ate that salty sea man.
Oh, I love that. You're not watching Game of Thrones. You marathon it at the end.
Yeah, I marathon it when the season's over.
The guy who plays Euron Greyjoy, Theon's uncle, who's kind of like the king of the Iron Islands, it pulls off a pretty good Quint impression.
Oh, nice.
I'll catch your dragon queen and I'll gut her for five. it's like kind of like that.
Nice.
I love Jaws. Good segue. Jaws, Steven Spielberg, Ready Player One.
I'm gonna go get my thing.
Oh yeah. So I'll vamp for a few seconds that San Diego Comic-Con happened here in the U.S. currently, and a bunch of trailers got released for a bunch of stuff that we're probably going to be forced to watch. Steve's still getting his thing, but Ready Player One was one of them. We went on record a couple podcasts ago. Well, I don't know. Was it? Probably like 10-15 podcasts ago. Did you ever read Ready Player One? Did you read it? No. Well, I mean, that takes a little bit of wind out of your sails.
Oh, but I have a very specific... I've got that covered.
Okay. I read Ready Player One. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I thought it was a little too heavy on the nostalgia factor. I thought.
Oh, a little. You think only a little too heavy? Because that's what I have. I have an excerpt from this fucking piece of shit ready to go. That's what I prepared.
Oh, from the book?
Oh, yeah. Because I didn't read the book because I started reading it and I stopped.
Okay.
That's why I didn't read the book.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Be prepared for the glory that this Ernest Dildo has written and that Steven Spielberg has turned into an amazing, quote-unquote, amazing film. I made a big entrance when I arrived in my flying DeLorean, which I'd obtained by completing a Back to the Future quest on the planet Zemeckis. Dun, the DeLorean dun, came outfitted dun, with a non-functioning flux capacitor, dun, but I made several additions to its equipment and appearance. First, I'd installed an artificially intelligent onboard computer named Kit, purchased in an online auction, into the dashboard, along with a matching red Knight Rider scanner just above the DeLorean's grill. Then I'd outfitted the car with an oscillation overthruster, a device that allowed it to travel through solid matter. Finally, to complete my 80s super vehicle theme, I'd slapped a Ghostbusters logo on each of the DeLorean's gullwing doors, then added personalized plates that read Ecto-88. It had only had a few weeks now, but my time-traveling, ghost-busting, night-riding, manor-penetrating DeLorean had already become my avatar's trademark. Fuck this book, fuck Steven Spielberg, fuck Ready Player One, fuck you if you like Ready Player One, double fuck you if you're gonna go see the movie. This is the biggest piece of shit that's wrong, that it's everything wrong with pop culture, all in one.
Well,
everything. It's t-shirt mashup the fucking movie.
Well, let me...
Atrocious.
I will say that I agree with you in most part. However,
I have a much longer excerpt, but I didn't want to read it. I went to the short one.
The problem is that you're kind of... If you read the whole thing, you kind of realize...
What about The Simpsons, you ask? I knew more about Springfield than I knew about my own city. Star Trek? Oh, I did my homework. TOS, TNG, DS9, even Voyager and Enterprise. I watched them all in chronological order. The movies, too. Phasers locked on target. I gave myself a crash course in 80s Saturday morning cartoons. I learned the name of every last GoBot and Transformer.
The problem is...
That's the entire book. The entire book is like that, people.
But you have to realize that by the end of the book, he realizes that all of that is kind of, it's not the real world.
Doesn't matter, because you don't need a fucking book to tell you that. You don't need t-shirt mash up the book to do that. Because anyone reading this book and loving this book, they're not going to get that message. They're going to be like, I like the Ghostbusters and Transformers. I want to get a Grimlock with Ghostbusters logos on it.
I agree with you on that. That a lot of people, like, well, that's the thing I always say. It's like when, All in the Family with Archie Bunker. You know, they talk about...
Yeah, Meathead.
I have this theory that it's like, All in the Family was designed to be like, Archie Bunker was supposed to show, like, the worst parts of humanity. Like, he was the old guard who was racist and a jerk and everything. But I think there were people who legit watched All in the Family and were like, Archie Bunker is right. And
yeah, then they're absolutely. I can guarantee you that's correct, because I know at least two people who are like, yes, Archie Bunker is correct. they're still, well, they're dead now, but if they were alive, they would say Archie Bunker is still correct.
Ready Player One, I did not think was that great of a book. Here's the only reason why I'm kind of excited about the movie is because I love Steven Spielberg. I think Steven Spielberg, his hits are amazing. And he has far few misses. I mean, his misses, I mean, like Jurassic Lost World, Jurassic Park 2, Indiana Jones with the Crystal Skull. I think Spielberg can pull it off. I mean, he's taken book adaptation. I always say Jurassic Park was a terrible book.
I completely checked out when I saw the fucking Terminator jump in the air shooting the chain gun at fucking Freddy Krueger in the trailer. That movie can eat my whole fucking ass. Fuck that movie. That movie is the emoji movie. That's the level that that film is. It's directed by Steven Spielberg, and he can go fuck himself.
That movie is going to make $1 billion.
Oh, it's
going to
make a shit ton of money. I have complete faith in my utter lack of faith in humanity that anyone will be like, you know, maybe this is fucking stupid and we shouldn't go see it. They're all going to be like, did you see Ready Player One? I've seen it 3 times. It's so good. The third time, I totally noticed there was Optimus Prime in one scene.
Yes, you are correct on that. I'm a movie buff. I love Spielberg. I will, every time I've been like, I don't know if I want to see
Jaws is a really good movie, but otherwise Steven Spielberg's pretty overrated.
No way. No,
oh, yeah.
No.
Did he direct Back to the Future, or was that Robert Zemeckis?
That's Robert Zemeckis.
Okay, yeah, see?
No, I mean, like,
Jaws is a good movie, though.
Jaws. Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I hate that movie.
The first three Indiana Jones movies.
Okay, Indy. No, Indy's good. We're good.
Jurassic Park, which is one of the greatest movies of
all
time.
Jurassic Park's a good movie.
Yeah. Saving Private Ryan.
That movie's okay.
Schindler's List, which, granted, you might not like the material of Schindler's List, it's an amazingly directed movie. Munich is one of the most badass movies of all time.
Film.
In recent years,
War Horse. Are you gonna hit me with the War Horse mix up?
War Horse wasn't a terrible movie. It wasn't a great movie either. I mean, he's had a couple movies that are kind of like, eh. Amistad, a movie about slaves revolting on a slave ship. And that's a movie about
either.
the white lawyer who defends them. Not a good move, Steven. Not a good move. I'm not gonna lie. Color Purple, not quite that great of a movie. But you know what? Not bad to watch. The Terminal. Catch Me If You Can. Kind of fluffy.
I did not like that movie.
You know, which one? The Terminal?
Catch Me If You Can. I don't think. Is the Terminal about the dude who's like stuck there?
I'm stuck in there for.
Yeah.
That
movie looks so stupid.
You think it looks stupid, but you know what? Spielberg pulls it off. Minority Report.
Did he direct that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Minority Report's fucking badass.
I still think he's overrated.
No. I will say Steven Spielberg is appropriately rated. He's probably one of the greatest living directors out there.
He's not at the levels of like Christopher Nolan overrated, but I think he's overrated.
Yeah,
Christopher Nolan I think is the most overrated director.
I will agree with you.
I
on
think
that.
He is. I think Christopher Nolan specifically is the most overrated director.
Yeah, I saw Dunkirk recently. Mm-hmm. I went with a bunch of Bolt Action Grognards. We went and saw Dunkirk, and the movie made me so angry because I hate Christopher Nolan. I think
was it a super How did Christopher Nolan Christopher Nolan a historical film? I need to know. How is that possible? Did he add that like
no
sound?
Non-linear storytelling.
Oh,
in a World War
in
II
a war
movie.
Movie.
I wanted
That's
to
exactly
kill
what I
him.
Want.
I wanted to strangle Christopher Nolan, and he made the movie he talks about interviews, I made the movie really loud. He wanted to make the audience jump when he heard bullets and stuff like that, which we did. And it was cool the first 2 or 3 times that happened. When it's happening throughout the entire movie, you're like, yes, I know you want to make us feel like we're on the beach, but come on, we're moviegoers.
Well, it's crushing Valerian and the planets.
I kind of want to see that, though.
I mean, it's directed by the dude who directed Fifth Element. It's probably fucking awesome. It's based on like a really like celebrated French graphic novel, but that's therein lies the problem. You're spending $150 million on a movie that you're casting no one in. No one knows anyone in that film.
What about Dane DeHaan and Cara Delevingne?
Yeah, nobody knows anyone in that film. I think they show Rihanna for like a second in the trailer. Who people know who Rihanna is, but she's not Baywatch.
No.
If she was Bay once, you might get people into the film. But yeah, so you'd spent a gigantic amount of money.
I believe her name is Sasha Fierce.
A gigantic amount of money on this movie that has a huge budget of special effects, a huge budget of advertising, no budget on the actors, based on some obscure shit that no one in the United States has ever heard of before. And you're like, gee, I don't know why this movie bombed.
That movie's going to make its money back overseas.
Oh, for sure. It'll be fine overseas.
That movie will crush in China.
Sure. They like anything that's got CG.
And they will, I think it'll do well in the secondary market here. I think once people are like, I'm gonna see this, but that's the thing. The only thing
people need to watch that movie first. I can't speak to it being good or not.
The only thing
you know what?
The only thing
it looks cool.
The only thing that saves Dunkirk is it's an hour and a half long.
Oh, that's good.
But because
which is it surprising because usually Nolan's like
4 hours yeah. long because no one knows how to like. Well, and part of the I
it's
think,
hard to. He seems like a director who would be very hard to edit.
Well,
does he edit his own movies or?
I don't think he edits his own movies. But
he seems like if I was an editor, it seems like it would be very difficult to edit.
I think
movies.
One of the reasons why it was so short is because Nolan wrote the script himself. He didn't have his brother write it, and I think his brother's the one that writes these really
long-winded.
Long scripts.
Okay,
like that was the problem with Batman and all those Batman movies is that they didn't cut anything from those scripts. The Dark Knight. That entire boat sequence with the Joker should have been cut from the movie. It does not need to be in that movie at all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we get it. People are shitty. We understand that.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a message we're learning from the Batman movie that people are shitty.
It was a good movie, though.
For the most part, it is pretty good. Dark Knight Rises is awful.
How dare you say that about the film that introduced Bane?
The only good thing in that entire movie is
that
the Bane voice.
That would be very unfortunate for you. Like, Bane is fucking great. Every scene with Bane, like the Bane fight scenes are great. Bane talking is great.
Oh, yeah, Bane
looking at Bane is great. That movie should have just been about Bane. Like, the entire film, it should have just cut back from everything else and just 100% followed Bane.
Well, Tom Hardy is like the best part of Dunkirk, so.
Oh.
He doesn't do the Bane voice, though.
You see, I have become all powerful.
Tom Hardy.
Nolan stars me in a film, I will be a joyous part of it.
Tom Hardy has the top billing in that movie. He has 10 lines in the entire movie.
That's awesome.
And most of it is just shots of him in an airplane kind of jinking left to right. like doing this. Like, you can't see it on the podcast, of course, because I'm doing it.
Yes. He's jinking left and right. He's getting a 3+ invul save.
I'm getting 3+. Quick, check my dexterity. Speaking of,
yes, I'm incoherently angry that Ready Player One exists.
I think you need to take a step back for just a second and realize it's in the capable.
It's T-shirt mash up the movie. Like, even if the movie is directed flawlessly and all the scenes are good, like if you apply all of the things that make a director good, like the cinematography is good, the angles are good, it's still fucking T-shirt mash up the movie.
Yeah.
Like, if you told me that Steven Spielberg was directing the Emoji Movie, I wouldn't be like, well, you know, maybe it'll have really good direction, I should go see it, because it's still a fucking movie about goddamn emojis.
Let's put it this way. Jurassic Park was a movie about theme park logistics. It was a book about theme park logistics. Steven Spielberg got a hold of it and turned it into one of the most greatest movies of all time.
I mean,
Jaws was a movie about fishing.
Also,
and he turned it into one of the greatest movies of all
time. Also, Jurassic Park, I really, 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 really liked because I was also a child when that film
it
came out.
It still holds up.
It's still a decent flick. I'm not gonna argue.
No,
it's got great action. The dinosaurs are fun. Some of the CG's a little hanky, but luckily the close up scenes were all done with practical effects, so they didn't fuck those up too bad.
Jurassic Park holds up like nobody's business.
But it's a good movie. Like, it's not bad. But again, it's also a movie about fucking dinosaurs. And you know what they did? They showed dinosaurs. Like, that's
it make you feel better if you know that Ernie Cline's second book, Armada, like did terrible.
I'm glad.
Because it was another like nostalgia cash in.
It would make me feel better if he died. That would make me feel the most good.
Yeah, he
preferably in some sort of autoerotic asphyxiation accident where he's surrounded by 80s merchandise.
Well, I was gonna say, like, his 80s merchandise collapses on top of him.
That would be truly ideal.
Yes.
Like, that Grimlock statue that he bought was the final piece. He put it on top of his shelf, and that was the last item that collapsed the shelf onto him, and his body was pierced by a bunch of tiny little weapons.
Destroyed by G1 Transformers.
Yeah, exactly. Grimlock's blade lodged in throat.
No, it would be better if he was killed by a non-G1 Transformer.
Oh, nice. Like, why did I buy the remake of Convoy? Oh, this goes down.
Yes. I don't know what that means, but I take it as a non-G1. I don't know the difference.
Convoy is the Japanese name for Optimus Prime.
Okay.
So a reissue of Convoy would not be a G1 Transformer. It would be because it's Optimus Prime, but it's a new figure.
I learned something, and that fact that you just told me pushed out something that was probably very important out of
my
brain.
Nah, it was probably just a Ready Player One fact.
Yeah. I will... I
started reading that book and I was like, this is fucking awful.
You know what?
People like this?
It's not a book I would have recommended to you. I knew you would not
happy about. I was angry by the time I had stopped reading it, I was actually shaking with rage. Like,
I wasn't
like,
that bad.
Why? But another thing, here's a very quick thing I'll talk about nostalgia. I believe nostalgia is valid. I think people who discount nostalgia entirely are wrong. I think nostalgia is a valid thing. However, when I there is a artistically proper way to use nostalgia, and I'll sum it up as simple as I can. Something people might have seen. Kung Fury. Kung Fury is the proper. Not that Kung Fury was amazing. It was definitely much better as the Kickstarter trailer than the full feature. But Kung Fury is the way to properly do nostalgia. It's inspired by and relevant to 80s action movies, 80s music, 80s style. You know, the Hacker Man thing that goes on the screen. It's like, Hacker Man! And like it looks like something out of the... like, and the music's all synthwave. But it's new. It's new content that's... harking back, like, and even though I didn't like Stranger Things very much, Stranger Things is a much, again, proper use of nostalgia. Like, it's got that feel where it's like, this is something that's from the 80s, but it's not a remake. Then you have the opposite end, the antithesis of this paradigm, which is the t-shirt mashup, where it's like, it's the ship from Firefly, hanging the TARDIS. And
what about if it was the ship from Firefly having sex with the TARDIS?
Well, then we're in a little bit of a better territory. So it's got the TARDIS hanging from it, and there's a DeLorean flying behind it. Like, that's not creative.
No, you see,
there's nothing.
What it would be the Firefly ship painted blue like the TARDIS.
Sure,
whatever you want to
make that. That happened.
Shit, if we put that out there, we'd probably sell that and make a ton of money.
That's not creative. That's awful. That's just taking things that have pop cachet and like just going like, you know what these things are. Now they're together. Here you go. Like, there's that really awful shirt with where it's Mal and Han Solo like standing back to back like, yeah, we're buddies. And it's like, fuck you. Fuck you for wearing that shirt. Fuck you for buying that shirt. And whoever made it, fuck you for making it.
Well, I think the guy who does Red Letter Media put it best when he's talking about Star Wars. I think, maybe it's Trek at the time when he's talking about it. But he says that, you know, nowadays there's so many different ways to consume media, it's very hard to get people's attention. So one of the tricks that Hollywood uses is that it uses things like, hey, you remember this? And then so as you're flipping through all the different types of media, not just cable, it used to be six channels, then it became cable. Now it's cable, internet, cell phones.
Well, now it's streaming.
Yeah, streaming.
I don't know anyone who still watches TV.
Yeah, I mean, I watch TV.
That's weird.
I know. I love it. I still love having my you know, cable. I don't know why, but I do. But there's so many different ways to consume media.
That's like weird, man.
Oh,
all right, so I know that one person who still watches TV.
Yeah, you have all these different types of media, and then you can't like focus in as much. So you have a lot of like media and like these studios who want to make money quick, like the quick cash.
Oh yeah, that's why
it.
Everything's a sequel or a remake.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm somewhat guilty of that as well. Like, I'm very excited about the new Blade Runner movie.
Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, it looks fucking sweet.
Well, like, it's because it's Denis Villeneuve, the guy who did Arrival, and he's amazing. And he's going to do the Dune movie.
Arrival was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a really good movie.
And he's going to do Dune if 2049 does well.
That sounds awesome.
And I'm super excited about Dune.
But that falls into my valid use of nostalgia, where you're expanding upon something that already exists using what already exists. I actually hate remakes. I think everything involved in a universe should be a sequel. So remakes I kind of despise, but I do like sequels. So, for example, the Ghostbusters movie with the girls. I would have much preferred that film to be a sequel. I hate the fact it was a remake. The movie was very movie. It was like fine. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. It deserved none of the praise and none of the derision that film generated. It was very much like a straight down the middle. It was almost a by the numbers movie, like, which was odd considering there was this whole falter all about it. But I hate the fact it was a remake. It was very obnoxious that it was a remake. It should have just been a sequel. There's no valid reason to make that movie not a sequel, because it's It's like they have all of the surviving Ghostbusters in that fucking movie in cameos. Just make them too old to bust the fucking ghosts. Like,
I'm too old to bust these ghosts.
I mean, how hard would it fucking be to have Bill Murray sitting on a desk? Like, yeah.
And not only that, but they gave Bill Murray a kind of a bigger part
right,
in that movie.
He was in that movie a lot. Like, how hard would it have been to just have him be fucking Peter Venkman? And he's like, I retired from Ghostbusting. Now I do a fucking shitty ass radio call in show about the paranormal. Like, it would have been so easy to make it into a great and funny sequel that, like, reminds you that's the problem, is it reminded no one positively about the old one, because everyone, people who weren't just butthurt that it was women, there were a lot of people I'm sure who felt personally attacked that this remake was deleting their beloved franchise. Like this means that the original movies don't count anymore, so they got very upset about it. So you could very easily
when was the last time you watched Ghostbusters 2? Wasn't that good of a movie?
Is it up a best side?
I mean, it had its moments.
It has Janusz. Janusz is great.
It had its moments, but it wasn't really that great of a movie.
And anyone who's listening, I will fight you if you don't like Janusz. Everything you are doing is wrong.
I love Viggo. Viggo the Carpathian is
also
amazing.
Great. Yeah, the movie's not really that good, but it has great jokes.
Yeah.
The movie has great jokes. As a movie, it's basically a rehash of the first Ghostbusters. It's like almost beat for beat the same movie.
Pat loves the fact that they pull out the Nintendo joystick to control
NES Advantage.
Like he literally
that's not just a joystick. That's the NES Advantage.
Like he waits for that moment, and then he just busts out his dick and just starts beating off right at that moment.
Nice.
I remember one time
I figured. If that's what he does, I have to disagree. If that's the plan, because what you should be doing is you should be beating off in preparation. And as soon as they pull it out, you climax.
Oh, okay, that's probably more like
that's a much better use.
I remember he got really upset when Wreck-It Ralph was in the Oscars, because they didn't recognize any of the video games that Wreck-It Ralph was based off. It was like, it'd be nice if they mentioned Street Fighter. Something like, Pat, they're not gonna do that.
They're talking about the movie, not about the games.
They're not talking about the games. Speaking of Pat, going to the Renaissance Fair tomorrow.
Oh yeah, Pat.
He might be going.
Guys gonna get dressed up as warriors?
I am getting dressed up as a warrior. I will be.
Are you gonna have a RoboCop helmet and a Marty McFly vest and I don't know?
You would love
lightsaber.
It if I dressed up like fucking RoboCop and went to the Renaissance Fair.
No. If you dressed up like RoboCop, yes. If you had a RoboCop helmet, a Marty McFly vest, and a lightsaber, I would hate you. But RoboCop, absolutely, because you could walk around there and be like, "Where are the cheese tots?
Freeze. Bring me a turkey leg.
Freeze, creep." Drop it. I could just see you harassing one of the knights.
So sweaty.
Oh, dude, you'd melt. You would die. You'd never make it out.
It's supposed to be nice tomorrow.
You'd look
least.
Really cool for the few pictures you survived for taking.
It's like, why does RoboCop have a beard? What's going on?
Murphy.
Speaking of...
Oh, man, I want to watch fucking RoboCop. Yeah. Verhoeven, he's made two good movies, RoboCop and Starship Troopers.
Total Recall.
Oh, that's right. He did make Total Recall. Yes. Three good movies. My bad. Didn't mean to leave you out of the... didn't mean to get your ass to Mars. Total Recall's great. But yeah, every other movie he's made has been terrible. Showgirls.
Well, I don't have time to go into... I don't have time to go into why Showgirls is actually brilliant. But
are you saying it's brilliant in the way that The Room is brilliant? It's a meta film.
No.
Also, how fucking weird is it that they're making a Room movie about the making of The Room?
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark. I did not hit her. I did not.
I'm one of those people who doesn't like The Room. Like, I don't like to watch a movie because it's bad.
The Room is excellent with its clips. Like, if just watching like the clips of like the legendary shit from The Room is great.
Like, I don't like watching
Troll 2, but Troll 2 is a great movie.
No, Sharknado. Like, I don't like a movie that's purposely made bad.
The Room's not purposely made bad.
That's what makes The Room kind of brilliant is the fact that they filmed on HD and standard definition cameras and just didn't keep track of which one was which and used, and like, it's like, what is going on?
It's so good.
And
Troll 2 is the same way. The directors were very passionate about their love for that film.
I know, and that's what makes it shine through. Yeah. And that's why I think those movies are relatively.
Yeah, I think
brilliant.
Movies like Sharknado are fucking garbage. I think they're like the Ready Player One for B movies. Like, intentionally making a B movie completely defeats
the purpose of making a B movie.
With the sole exception of a few like made for TV shitters like Mansquito. Like, when you make a film called Mansquito, like, straight up, you're like, we're making Mansquito, and like there's and I guess that's a weird.
It doesn't. My only female mosquito is drink blood.
That's why it's awesome. It's Mansquito. That's where like there's a hard and there's no hard and fast rule to this one. Like I don't have a hard and fast rule to this one. But like Sharknado is garbage. Mansquito is gold. And I don't know exactly why. I think maybe because Mansquito is more of like. There were so many 80s movies like Mansquito. Like, that was, like, that trope. Like, once you had The Fly with Jeff Goldblum, like, that launched a bunch of copycat movies. Just like Conan launched a bunch of copycat sword and sorcerer movies back in the 80s. So, like, Mansquito...
You talking about Warlords of Gore?
Sure, Warlords of Gore, Beastmaster, Warlords of Gore. Red Sonja.
Wait. Okay, I understand about the B-movie stuff and like that. Hey, do you know about Gore? Like, what Gore is? Like the Warlords of Gore.
The planet, right?
Yeah, planet. It's the opposite planet of Earth and everything like
that. Yeah, yeah.
Do you know about like the whole sexual deviancy of Gore?
No.
You never heard about this?
No.
So for those who are listening to this podcast who never heard of Gore.
Was Roger Corman, right?
I don't know if Roger Corman did the movies, but Gore was a book series first. It was like there's a ton of them. And it's all like super duper red pill, like women have to be subservient to men on this planet, and the women are slaves, and the men, blah 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 blah. It's very much like there's some people who are Reddit going like, I like this idea.
Sounds
of
like a quality film.
Sounds like an ideal situation I want to live in. There's like a whole.
They still wouldn't sleep with you.
No, no, they wouldn't.
Mom's tendies are the only thing keeping you warm at night.
The free market has spoken. You are you have no worth in that market. No, but there's like a whole group of people who.
Yeah, you know it's odd that they're really into the free market, except when women don't want to sleep with them.
But this goes back to the 1980s. You know, Gore goes all the way back to the 70s, or maybe even earlier. I'm not 100% sure on that. But there's like a whole group of sexual like fetishists who like their whole fetish is based on Gore.
Okay.
The Gore novels, and I'm like, my God, that's brilliant that this existed before the internet. Like, that's what makes it amazing, is that this existed pre-internet.
Fair enough.
Like,
well, it's the thing. Everything existed pre-internet. Now, the difference is now you can find each other and they can make dank forums together.
Yes, they can find a Usenet group together and to put that together. But yes. One last thing before we're already over. But
Despacito?
That song. I haven't even heard it.
I haven't heard it either, but I think it's the song that goes, Despacito! Despacito.
I don't think that's what it goes.
Oh, that's the way it goes.
That song is single-handedly reviving Puerto Rico's economy, by the way. Gen Con. Game Classy, I will be at Gen Con.
Gen Con.
Steve will not be at Gen Con.
I maintain the boycott that I instated all those years ago. Hey,
quote what happened last year as well, it doesn't count of a boycott if you had no plans of going to begin with.
I still say it counts because I made that boycott declaration years ago, I've never made plans to go to Gen Con since.
Well, yeah, it's because you don't want to go to Gen Con.
I would go if it wasn't in Indiana and it wasn't like, you know, in like California. Like if it was back in Wisconsin, I'd go.
Yeah, you would go if it was like I had to drag you to Adepticon, and Adepticon is 15 minutes from your house.
I went to Adepticon last time.
I know, that's
permission.
What I'm saying. It's like I had
and
to,
it was sweet.
I know, I had to drag you, and it's 15 minutes.
I'll be back again this year.
I was like, Steve.
Except this time, I'll have Age of Sigmar armies.
I know, I was like, Steve, there are fans of the podcast who are there who want to meet you.
I didn't meet any fans of the podcast there.
No, it's true, you were kind of...
Well, I met the Arena Rex guys. Well, they're fans of the podcast.
Yeah, you were
that
only
counts.
There for like 5 minutes, though, too.
I mean, I wandered around.
Yeah, but only for like 10, 15 minutes.
I mean, I got some Arena Rex stuff. I saw all of the booths. It was a real convention. I was like, whoa, this convention's real. If I didn't have the boycott, because I don't back down on my boycotts, I fucking don't. And I would dare anyone to say that I haven't backed down on my boycotts. Because if I do...
What about Assassin's Creed Egypt?
I didn't have a boycott on Assassin's Creed. I just said...
But isn't that EA?
No, it's Ubisoft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's not. There's only one exception to the EA boycott, and that's Dead Space.
Okay.
If they do a Dead Space 4, I'll buy Dead Space.
Okay.
But otherwise, no EA games allowed.
Okay. But what about NHL? And EA Sports.
It's in the game.
It's in the game.
Only if they've been made pre-boycott. So if I can buy like NHL 95. 95. Yeah, I can buy that.
The greatest sports game I've ever made.
That's pre-boycott. Yeah. We're okay. They're not going to make any extra money on me buying a used copy of NHL 95.
Yeah.
But even if I was going, like, or if the plans are, I probably would try and sell my tickets because I have absolutely no interest in going to a sold-out Gen Con.
Yeah, the...
Because it's trending to be completely sold out.
Well, yeah, the...
Fuck that. That's going to be a nightmare.
But, okay, so here's the thing. Like, what's been making a lot of the news is Gen Con's 4-day pass is sold out. And me and you were talking about that, and I'm like, it doesn't quite mean a lot because they don't make that many four-day passes.
But that's never happened before.
It's true. It's never happened before. They don't usually make that many four-day passes because anybody who knows conventions know that probably 75% of all business
Saturday.
Is, well, it's Saturday, it's just walk-ins. It's people coming in and being like, hey, I found this Groupon for a ticket to go to this convention. I'm going to go take my kids because I got nothing better to do except go see the Emoji Movie. But fuck that.
The Emoji Movie.
So, yeah.
You don't have enough defeat in your voice when you say it. So, you have to weep for humanity.
So these are all ticket pre-sales. There's still going to be walk-in tickets. Like, it's not like...
What if there's not? What if it sells out?
No, they don't do that.
I don't know, man.
Conventions do not do that. These are all pre-sale tickets.
I have seen sold-out conventions before. They've happened. They've never been really big. But it is still possible for a convention to sell
out. Yeah, Gen Con's a destination convention.
I'll be interested to see.
Yeah.
Because I have to imagine if anyone's traveling any distance to go there, they've already bought their tickets.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the big chunk...
I actually have no idea of any of the statistics to refute or back up your claim that a lot of them are walk-ins. I've got nothing. I don't know.
I had the statistics. I just don't care to bring them up because our viewers and our listeners don't really give that big of a shit.
Or do they?
Or do they?
Or do you?
So, yeah, I'll be there. So
or
if you
does it?
If you want to say hi or something like that, just shoot us a message. I'll swing by, say hi.
Someone already said they're going to be there from the UK in the Mantic booth?
Yeah, in the Mantic booth.
Nice.
I'll be interested. I'll swing by there.
Tell them hello.
I will. And I'm actually, you know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to do some LARPing this year.
Some LARPing?
I'm going to do some LARPing.
You didn't get into True Dungeon, did you?
No, I'm not. Well, True Dungeon is near. You can't. That sells out automatically.
Yeah, it's like gone.
Yeah. And like I found out that True Dungeon is not really like there's not people dressed up like monsters.
No,
that come
it's
out.
Just
no.
puzzles.
It's just puzzles. I'm like, that's stupid. I want like a fight a Minotaur.
Yeah, you don't get to fight a Minotaur.
Where the fuck's my Minotaur? If I went in there with a foam sword.
If you get
to
fight a Minotaur, it's a statue of a Minotaur. You have to solve puzzles to beat it.
No, that's fucking bullshit.
Hey, that's just the way it is, okay?
No, I understand that. I'm going to make real True Dungeon with just dudes in Minotaur outfits that come out and we're like, raw.
I'm sure you're only a lawsuit away from bankruptcy. He blinded my son with his battle axes.
Said Steve dressed up like a beholder with a bunch of eyes sticking out.
Oh, dude, I'm blinding that kid with my battle axe. I'll just walk in the room and go, Despacito! Despacito!
Steve's naked except with a big eye painted on him.
Perfect.
And a bunch of little eyes.
Perfect. I do need
glorious.
I need a BDSM loincloth, though, with spikes.
With spikes. So I'm gonna do some LARPing this year. I figured I want to do something that's different at Gen Con. I always do board games. I always do mini games. I do a lot of demo gaming and stuff like that. I want to do something I've never done at Gen Con before, and LARPing is something that I've never done. I'll give it a try. They have some cool Call of Cthulhu stuff, so I might be doing that. So
nice.
So if anybody knows any good LARPing stuff, just let me know. Our listeners, as few as they may be, are really good about, like, if I say, like, hey, guys, I need some help with this, they'll be like, here's a link for this.
Well, hey, the people who listen to the gaming podcast, which actually has no information whatsoever, have the information.
Exactly. Which makes it
perfect. It's a perfect combo.
perfect combo.
Combo!
Anyway, we're way over. So go to planetarbitrary.com for Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I'm Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page /GameClassyPodcast. The best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, and subscribe on the iTunes. You can also like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTubes. You can listen to our sister podcast, Play On Podcast, where Steve talks about how Walmart fucked up the pre-order sales on
NES. Oh, man, comedy gold.
That's it. I thought that was weird that they put that out there.
Yeah, they fucked up. You could tell that they fucked up because when any of those pre-orders happen, everyone knows in advance.
Yeah.
They might intentionally fuck up the time. Like, they might say, like, they'll be on pre-order at 9 a.m. and put them up at 4 a.m., they might do that, but they always announce those pre-orders before they happen. So for it to just like appear, get discovered, and everyone rush on it, there was something weird going on.
Yeah. And then, comic book Logic is on a bit of a hiatus until Kevin gets back on the horse. His kid's been sick lately. So so until the next podcast, which I think will actually be pre-Gen Con. So
PrenCon?
PrenCon.
PrenCon.
So until PrenCon,
please do Steve a favor. Do me. I'm asking you.
Go see Ready.
I'm asking you
go see
passionately.
Go see
do not see Ready Player One in theater.
Ready Player One.
Please.
You can come with me.
You can pirate it. Actually, I encourage you to pirate it.
I'm gonna get some popcorn.
Please pirate it. Share it with your friends. Don't let anyone go see Ready Player One. I would sooner you go see the Emoji Movie.
You and me underneath the blankets.
If you can go with Joe, you can go with Joe because he's gonna go see it because he's an awful person. But if you're a good person, you have a kind soul, please don't see Ready Player One.
Watch Top Gun together.
I mean, you should definitely watch Top Gun instead of, like, literally anything. You should watch the Emoji Movie before you watch Ready Player One. It's everything wrong with pop culture. Please don't support it. I don't want more Ready Player One films. I don't want that Ernest guy to make any money. I hate that guy. I hate his stupid face. He was in that fucking E.T. documentary. I fucking hate him. I believe they put his name thing as author/80s historian. I believe was they put his little, like, you know, what are they?
I'm a career, 90s historian.
Maybe they do the career thing when you're in a documentary. Yeah. So then, very good. If I put yours, I would put lame-o 90s historian.
It's like, hey kids, the 90s were terrible.
There was a lot of terrible shit in the 90s. Yeah,
awful.
But what, you know what wasn't awful? The super shitty, like, radical dude. Like, that was the best. going back and watching the GamePro TV show, oh, that shit is gold. It's like, yeah, buddy, we're going to make you the best possible combos. That's like, oh, dude, it's so bad. Are you ready to skate or are you ready to die? That's right, bros. We're talking about Skate or Die for your Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, the NES.
Yeah, it's so good. Please don't see Ready Player One.
Game Classy.